Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 456, What Have We to Say Now, recorded live on December 18th, 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And to wrap up the year, we are kind of doing a special with some other community members of the bigger Halo community. We wanted to kind of take time to get everyone's thoughts and feelings on how the Master Chief Collection is doing and kind of get that spread out a little bit and kind of cover some other communities which we haven't covered here on Podtacular yet that have kind of been making names for themselves. One of which is fairly old, one of which is a little bit newer, and we'll get to those two a little bit. But we have a returning guest who's been here quite a few times actually, and he's restarted one of his Machinima series Halo tricks on the Master Chief Collection, and it is none other than CM Nier. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back. It's been a while.
It's been quite some time. I would want to say probably
at least over a year for being on the show, but I did see you at PAX.
That is true. I can't even remember when the last time was you were on the show. And you actually talked a little bit too, which was different. Yeah.
Probably like the end of the year in 2012, probably, after Halo 4 had come out.
Maybe. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and check the archives for that one. But how's everything been with the
Good.
Master Chief Collection?
It's been one big nostalgia trip to play the Master Chief Collection with Halo CE, Halo 2, 3, and even 4. It was like one big reunion with a bunch of people that I used to play the game with years ago, like 8, mm-hmm. 9 years ago. It's crazy how time flies.
I know, right? There's just so much that's been added to Halo, and just to see this big culmination of all these games in here, it's just astounding to see, I guess, the culmination of 12 years of game development into one experience. It's kind of crazy. But we have a couple other guests on who have not been on the show before. First one is a show that I've actually been on, but they haven't been on here yet, so we're kind of rectifying that tonight. And he comes from the land of the post-game Carnage Report, and that would be Robowski. Welcome, dude.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Long-time listener.
Yeah, and we've actually been trying to plan to get you on at some point. We just never got it through, and this just happened to be a time that worked out for both of us. So I'm glad that we can finally have you on the show.
And we are not recording podcasts at this time.
Really? Why not?
It's just taking a break.
Okay. Just for the holidays, or?
It's been quite a bit for 2014. I think we've done about 10 shows this year, but I don't know. We're eventually going to get back, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about with the MCC out and Halo 5 coming out.
There's lots of stuff to talk about. And I'm
Yes.
Knowing the guest host that I knew you had on 3 months ago, because that's my backlog of podcasts right now, you would have some very interesting conversations about it on your show.
One-sided.
Oh, there are multiple sides. I think a lot of your co-hosts tend to take one side and you kind of tend to take the other. And I think I've told you this before, but you're my favorite out of all the people on that show.
Yes! I actually had someone that said that they thought I was a girl until they saw my picture.
How? What?
I don't know.
How does that make sense?
I'm confused.
I don't know.
You don't even sound like a girl.
People say I sound like Brad Pitt, but that's the first time I've ever heard I sound like a girl. So.
Okay. Interesting.
News to me.
Anyways. I look like him too.
You throw grenades like a girl.
Well, that might be very true. The last person you're hearing right there, he comes from the land of Podcast Evolve, which I think is a podcast that has been, I think, less than 2 years in the works, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man, dude. Like, I think we started like this summer.
Was it this year? All right.
Yeah,
well, he's Drew Freeman. So welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing? Thanks for having me on, man. It's really cool to be here finally.
Yeah, we actually had Haas Sauce on your show last week, which, like I said before,
that's right.
I'm still backlogged on podcast, so I haven't been able to tune into it, but I heard that went really well, so that was good.
Yeah, it was a great show.
How is it having him on?
Oh, he's great. Haas has joined us in some game nights in the past, and we all get along really well with him, and he's a lot of fun to play with and just, you know, talk dirt with and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was good having him on. We did like the wrap up of the Halo Nightfall stuff, and that was fun to kind of. I tuned in a little bit when you guys recorded live the night before, and you guys mm-hmm. were talking about it, and then it was interesting to hear that conversation, and then have a person from that conversation join a different group of people and have kind of the same conversation and hear the different perspectives right. or thoughts on it. That was fun.
One of the things whenever I think of that thing happening or something like it happening is, you know, whenever actors or musicians go on this interview tour kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like that. So you'll have one person come to a bunch of different websites. So, or almost like game developers going to a bunch of different websites and reporting the same thing for like just their blog write-ups or videos or whatnot. And they're basically reiterating the same thing. It's kind of like that, except on the podcast level. So you're rehashing conversations over and over and over again. But one of the beauties about podcasting is it never happens the same way twice. It's almost like lightning never strikes in the same place twice.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, every episode is always different. You know, we could talk about the same thing 2-3 weeks in a row with, obviously, with the Master Chief Collection and the ongoing conversation around that. You're talking about the same stuff, but there's always something new to bring up, or you've thought of something else in between, you know, weeks or something like that, or there's always something fresh coming out.
Oh, yeah. And even if there's not, there's still a lot of content that keep you talking.
Oh, yeah.
If you just think about everything that there is in Halo, from the campaign to the multiplayer to the toys to the videos that they put out, there's always something to talk about, especially when it comes to the lore, because the Halo universe is so expansive, so large and ever-growing and increasing, and it's ridiculous how much going. And then you have the community side of things, where you see a bunch of cosplay, you see a bunch of fan fiction, artwork, all this stuff. So there's always something to talk about when it comes to Halo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's we try to focus on like the story and the lore and the in-game stuff on the show with just all the little different segments that we have. But it's ongoing. You know, I mean, I feel like Halo is on the same level as Star Trek and Star Wars, and it's learned from the mistakes that those franchises have made in the decades that it took them to get to where they are. And it's rising at a meteoric pace. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. So let's kind of backtrack a little bit here. Since Robaski and Drew are both new on the show, I kind of want them to tell us a little bit about themselves, where they come from within the Halo community, and how they got their start in Halo. So Robaski, we'll start with you. Obviously, you come from... both of you guys come from a fellow podcast background. CM Near is kind of the veteran here on the podcast and a little bit of the oddball here because he does YouTube videos. But we'll catch up with him on what he's doing.
Not odd.
I think a lot of people.
Shh.
Well, not oddball. On the bad. Hey, oddball! It's
the
a
oddball
Halo thing,
here.
So it's a Halo thing. Come on. But we'll talk with him in a little bit about what they're doing with the new season of Halo Tricks. But Robaski, I want to start with you. Kind of tell us how you got started with Halo, how you got PGR started, and where that's kind of been, and where you are now with the show.
That is a condensed. Well, that's a long story to tell. You want the short version?
I'll take whatever version you want to give me. I have another hour and a half tonight, depending on how long you want to go.
Sweet. I started with Halo CE a little bit late, behind everybody else. Fell in love. The first games I started playing, pretty much. My first game was actually a 1v1 battle on Blood Gulch.
Ah, classic Blood Gulch.
Yeah, if you can imagine what that's like.
Forever,
yeah,
as you walk across the canyon.
Sniper?
Oh, yeah. No. Actually, we had the plasma pistol, but we didn't know the maps. We were just... I guess this would be a perfect example of explaining how fun Halo was, or is two guys have never played the game before, playing against each other, and one of the pivotal moments was I finally figured out where the rockets were. And right when I picked it up, he's like airborne in a Warthog. And I shoot him. He takes me out with the Warthog because in Halo CE, even though you're like the Master Chief, if they barely touch you or nudge you with a vehicle, you're dead, which is weird. But
good old Halo 1 physics.
But it was just that classic moment of, oh my gosh, I killed you. You killed me. It was just one of those moments where it was just, I knew I loved the game from that moment on. But LAN parties started. We started playing every single week. And then started getting bigger and bigger. We went to tournaments and had fun there. Halo 2 came out and we were able to play online. That was phenomenal. I mean, to actually play with other people. And I became hooked. I mean, I played Halo 2 nonstop online. And from that point on, I've always played online with other friends. And started listening to podcasts. One of the first few podcasts I actually started listening to was Podtacular. And I did a little research of when I first started listening. It was right before Halo 3 came out. And they were describing Zanzibar. And I remember back when Fumo Jai was around, of them describing the map. And I was walking through our grocery store, just captivated. I mean, by hearing about this new map and this new game that I would come home from work, I'd start playing Halo 2. Me and my friends would all get together. We'd always play together in clan battles, you name it. And this was like my way of living, pretty much. And when I wasn't playing Halo, I was listening to Podtacular or other gaming podcasts. And it was just a way of life back then. But decided, what the heck, I'll start my own podcast. And we've been doing it for a little over 5 years now. The memories, the people I've met because of it is just phenomenal. I mean, in Duststorm, I'm sure that you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you meet some of the coolest people because of the show that you do.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous, but really awesome at the same time.
But that's pretty much my story. Just me and a bunch of friends doing a very mature rated podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily about Halo. We might piss you off because of our views. But deep down inside, Halo is the go-to game. That is like the game that has always been dependable. That's always been fun. We might play a couple other games here and there, but this is a game that we always come back to play.
Very cool. So what's kind of the thing that your podcast focuses on from Halo? Is it kind of just generic Halo? Is it mostly the games? Do you talk about the books at all? What does the podcast kind of cover from the Halo perspective?
I would say mainly on the side of, we'll cover like news stories, do our funny spin off of it. I try and cover as many different aspects of it as possible. Like we have skills, which is very knowledgeable when it comes to the first series of books. We try and cover the anime. We cover the comic books. I'm a huge fan of speedruns. So High Speed Halo is phenomenal to me. I love the concept of what they do and the effort they put into it. We've really touched a lot of the surface when it comes to cosplay. It's amazing what they do. MLG, I'm one of the few people on the podcast that actually respect it and that really like it. But we cover a wide variety, mainly news stories, and then we cover other games also and what other raunchy stuff that comes up. And you've been doing this show for a very long time, and you guys are in like the 500s now or beyond?
This is episode 456.
Okay, so close. And you know how you come up with like the repetitive jokes and like the inside stuff, and it's,
oh yeah,
that's the fun of the podcast. That's
like, it definitely,
you guys are
is.
Still talking about fragging trucks.
That's just one of our classic slogans that we keep on using. It works really well.
Well, keep on going with it. It's good. It makes me laugh every time.
Good. So we'll move on over to Drew, who has a podcast called Podcast Evolved. So
yes,
Drew, why don't you give us your rundown of what got you started into Halo and kind of how the podcast evolved?
So got into Halo in 2002. I had a PlayStation and I was all into that the PS1. And then I went to some friend's house and they were like, hey, we got this new Xbox thing. Come check it out. And I sat down in Blood Gulch with these two guys and they just ran circles around me. I felt like a complete idiot. Like I was just like, I don't even know. I'm doing the classic, putting my gun straight up in the air and spinning around. Like, how do I find you guys? What is even happening? but then we played a little bit of the campaign and I was just completely blown away. So then I instantly went back and told my mom, hey, we gotta get rid of this PlayStation thing. This new Xbox is just unbelievable. So traded everything in, traded my PlayStation, all my games, all my controllers and everything in, got an Xbox and Halo 1 and two controllers and started rotating friends from high school. Just, hey, come over after school today. I'm going to show you this game. We're going to play. And I really got into the story. And that was really just what hooked me and made me fall in love with video games in general, more so than I already had been. And in Halo, chief among all of them, because of the Halo Fall of Reach just hit me at the right time. It actually encouraged me to join the military, as silly as that sounds. And I just stuck with Halo ever since. And when it comes to podcasting, I was getting out of the Army and I had a lot of free time. And so I started picking up Rooster Teeth podcast. I got into Giant Bomb podcast, Podcast Unlocked, and all these different podcasts, and just it introduced me to like all these personalities and characters and stuff. And I was like, man, I like to talk. I like to talk about video games and stuff. And my friends liked video games, but not on the level of like the way we pay attention to it with all the minutiae and the detail and, you know, this backstory and like the developers and who they work for and all that stuff. So I started trying to pull like my friends and people online together to say like, hey, let's start a little community. And that eventually turned into Rated M for Podcast, the general gaming podcast that I do. And earlier this year, Halo started getting popular again. I started getting excited because I realized so many people in our community love Halo. We primarily exist on a Facebook group. And I was like, guys, we're talking a lot about Halo around a lot of people that probably don't care as much as we do. So I made this side group and then we started doing game nights. And then I've always had this desire to do a Halo book club. And so I kicked around that idea and that turned into an actual podcast, which we embedded the Halo book club into the podcast itself. So we started that like in May, maybe. I think, okay. I think podcasts have all started around May or something like that. And since then, it's just been such a pleasure and such an honor to really like have a place for people to get together and be like, oh man, I love Halo so much. Like I just, none of my friends like it as much as I do. And I've always wanted to look for people to play with and stuff. And it's really been humbling to be able to have a place for people to get together and share their love of like the lore and all that stuff. And not that those places didn't exist before, but it was really birthed out of this other community that I'd already started. And it gave me an excuse to talk about Halo every week. That's just the dream to me. I love it.
Yeah, well, we love it here too.
Yeah, I noticed. I'd been aware of Podtacular for a long time. Like I didn't realize how long I'd been aware of Podtacular. And then I started listening earlier this year when I was getting into podcasts and I was like, they're in the 300s and 400s episodes. Like what? Like mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how long the podcast has been going.
Yeah, it's really cool to see, like, when I started Podcast Evolved, I was thinking about, I was like, well, there's Podtacular, and I started trying to look to see what other Halo podcasts are out there, because I was like, well, I don't know if this is something we should just do for ourselves, or should we put that on iTunes, or what should we do? And like you were talking about before, there's so much to Halo, which is why I love it. It's a whole universe. It's its own thing. You know, It's bigger than just a video game that comes out every year or every couple of years. It's more than just, you know, the story that goes from game to game. There's so much to talk about that you could have two or three Halo podcasts and you still wouldn't step on each other's toes. Like you couldn't even try to come close to like repeating the same story every month or something like that. So it's been really fun.
Well, there's six podcasts I can think off the top of my head that are Halo podcasts. I mean, we have three of them here. Then we have Griffball Hub. Then we have Halo Gaff, which is now Reclaimer Radio. And Bomb Planted, which is the Team Beyond one, whenever they decide to do that one. And Drunken Halo is another one. So there's definitely plenty of podcasts out there.
I miss Drunken or Dust and Echoes.
Dust and Echoes?
Yeah, that was... Yep. That's a... gosh, that was a while ago. I think they had their last one.
God, they were incredible. They had great chemistry.
Yeah. There's also the Ford and the Dawn podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sal's a good friend of ours.
Mm-hmm. There's also... Technically, the Sparkcast is still a Halo podcast. They just haven't released an episode in over 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
That's the 343 podcast, if anyone doesn't know what the Sparkcast is.
Right before Sparkcast started, I went back recently and listened to the very last... What was the Bungie podcast? Did it have a name? What was the name?
It's just the Bungie Studios podcast, I believe.
Their last Halo podcast is hilarious. It's like a bunch of people standing around on a beach watching their ship sinking off in the distance. They're like, we had a good time. Yeah, we did. Oh, well. Hey, I stole this thing off the ship. You stole that? Man, oh. Don't tell anybody.
I have to go back and listen to that one.
It's really interesting. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I love the intro song.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're the Bungie kids.
Krista, one of our co-hosts, was trying to convince me to just do that. Just do like, we're the Halo kids. Like I was like, no, we should kind of come up with our own thing. She was like, no, it's got to be like the song. I was like, we'll probably get sued. I don't think we should do that.
Just make sure Mari doesn't sue you.
I know, right?
I don't think he would, but, you know.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of is a... good introduction to, I think, both you guys. For those who have not heard of them that are listening to this, you can check them out, obviously, on iTunes. They have their podcasts up there. It's Post Game Carnage Report and Podcast Evolved. But Chris is here from Halo Tricks, and he's done seasons for Halo Tricks for all the Halo games since Halo 2, I believe. And now you guys are diving into the Master Chief Collection and kind of taking a little bit of a different twist on it, just because of, from what I remember you saying, some of the nuances in how the games have translated with their up-res graphics and working on the new 1080p 60 frames per second graphics engine. So what's kind of your new attack method here for doing the Halo Tricks series for the Master Chief Collection?
It's basically been one giant reunion with a bunch of the cast that we've had from Halo 2. So people that were around back when I first started that kind of drifted off. And then when this game came out, it kind of just brought us all back together. So we just went on one big nostalgia trip and did a bunch of the tricks that we had done years ago. And we found that some of them didn't work the same way. You can't sword cancel the same way anymore. You can't fling by someone with sword canceling, but it's a lot easier to do now, so you can just sword cancel up buildings and a lot easier, so that's helpful for some tricks. But we found new ways to get out of certain levels, like burial mounds. There's a new method to get out of that we did in one of the new videos, and so you can still get out of the places that you could in Halo 2. It's just some of the glitches that allowed you to get out kind of were changed a bit because of the upscale and the port, because I think the Halo 2 port was from the PC version, not the Xbox version. So
right,
already there's differences.
Yeah, except for the two maps that were specifically Xbox 360. But everything else, I believe, was the Halo 2 Vista engine. Which, of course, some of the things were a little bit different in there. Most of the glitches and stuff that I remember were available in the PC version from the Xbox version. So I'm kind of curious to wonder if some of the stuff that you're finding in there is because of Halo 2 being patched over the years, or is it truly different based on the new graphics engine?
Well, some of the glitches that we tried were patched that aren't able to do in this new version, but there's others that are still around that were never patched, and some of them don't work the same way. Like super bounces do not work the same way at all, because for whatever reason, you have to be higher up than you had to be before. So when you land, you have to land from higher up on the spot to go to super bounce, which was disappointing. But I mean, you could still super bounce. It's just you got to get up higher first before you do it.
And I think with the super bouncing too, wasn't it because of a misinterpretation of the collision geometry, and that's why you bounced up so high? And now because you're doing 60 frames per second, you have a lot more calculations in between the frames, so the effect wouldn't be nearly as great.
Yeah,
I guess that's why you have to jump from a higher place.
Exactly. I'm just glad they didn't go out of their way to get rid of all the glitches and tricks. I mean, they even kept in BXR.
Basically. I feel like they went out of their way to keep that stuff, which is pretty, pretty impressive.
That's great. That's a service to the fans who grew up exploiting those tricks and glitches, especially in matchmaking. And just, it would be something you do. You get home from school, hang out with a group of friends, go into a level and just glitch. I remember doing that all the time. That was a lot of fun. How can we get out of this? How can we get there? How can we do this?
Right.
Now, was there ever some glitch that you pulled off that you never recorded that you're like, man, I wish I recorded that?
That's a good question. I actually don't know, because by the time Halo 3 came out, if you missed it, you could go back. But in Halo 2, I think if there was ever a trick that we did, or at least attempted to do that we couldn't do, we probably just gave up. So if we were able to do it, I always had the camera ready for when we did a trick, because back then I would record through a VCR. So if I didn't get it, I didn't get it at all. So I would just let it run. So I had a video camera hooked up through VCR, and the Xbox was hooked up through the VCR. So I would record in VCR mode on the video camera. And so I would just let that run constantly until it was like, okay, we give up, or we get the trick and we're done. But I don't recall ever not getting a trick. I've never really thought of that, unless we just couldn't do it and we were like, screw it, let's do something else.
I love how you just completely detailed the old capture card system when it comes to video games. you plug in your camcorder into your Xbox, and then the camcorder to the VCR, and then you play it through the camcorder, you record it to your VCR, and then you have to recapture it afterwards to bring
intricate.
It into your PC. Yeah. Like,
I thought
recording
everyone was doing
video
it.
Back then was ridiculous.
That's I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, I made it a thing because I had no way else of recording footage, and I don't know how I ever figured that out. Must have messed with my VCR player, because the VCR player was hooked up to the TV, so I could route the Xbox through that into the TV, and then output the feed to a video camera that was in VCR mode, and record it to a tape. This was before like you could record digitally to video cameras, so I recorded it to a tape, would take the tape, import it into my computer, and you'd have to wait there and tapes could hold like 60 minutes, so, and when you imported, you had to sit there for the 60 minutes while it imported. It wasn't like data transfer, it was literally frame by frame import, so it was somewhat tedious, but
yeah,
it worked.
Old DV protocol for capturing video, that was...
Crazy.
That was something
with
back
Halo
then.
CE. With Halo CE, I actually had my Xbox connected to my VCR, and so I could record that way. But did you do it your way because your VCR wasn't set up that way, or was it better video quality?
I don't think I did it for any video quality reasons. I think I did it so I could actually watch what I was doing on the TV while I was recording at the same time.
Okay.
So I don't think my TV had an output. Besides the TV itself, that could go into a video camera. At least I think so. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that's the way most of them were, is you had to go through...
Yeah. You had to feed it through something
right
first, so the Xbox would split. Otherwise, it works just like a capture card, except you lose the video camera and you replace that with your computer, so you don't have the middleman anymore. And thank goodness for that.
Most setups I remember is just going from the Xbox to the camcorder to the TV. That's what I remember most setups being. And I actually didn't hop on that whole like recording video train until I got it was like one of the first capture cards that you didn't have to use a camcorder to record video with. Gosh, I forget what it was. I'll have to see if I can find it. But at the time, it was really cheap. It did the S-video and composite video, and you could record straight from that. And that was like one of the first capture cards for gaming out there that wasn't using a camcorder. And that was pretty cool back then. And now today you have the Elgatos, you have the AverMedia stuff, you have the Blackmagic Intensity, and it's just really cool to see how, and this goes for anything past capture cards. I mean, this goes for all IT, but it's just interesting to see how technology has changed so much over the last few years. And someone just said laser discs in the chat. You're talking about
He said Lazar discs.
Oh, Lazar. I'm sorry. Lazar discs. I mean, just go back to the way storage was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago or so. Well, it was, 20 years. Using
floppy disks.
Yeah, 5.25-inch floppy disks. And you had hard drives that were 32 megs of
storage. Oh, God. That's crazy. Storage. I remember getting Doom, and it was like 5 or 6 floppy disks that you had to just, you put one in, and then it was like, put disk 2 in, and then you had to put that in. And it was like installing the whole game off of these 5 or 6 disks.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And now you have it on your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
20 years down the road. Hey, it fits in a prick of my finger.
That's crazy. It's in my brain.
No, that's another
Doom
20
is
years.
Definitely in my brain.
Yeah, well, that's really cool to see that you're going through and doing some of this stuff. Have you looked at any of the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff yet, or are you primarily looking at old tricks? What's kind of the agenda for you looking at tricks?
Right now, we've been going through Halo 2. It's just been a big... Since Halo 2 is where we started, we just decided to go straight into that. I haven't really touched Halo 3, 4, or 1 yet, but there's a lot to cover, and there's a lot to do, and it's kind of fun again. But as for Halo 2 Anniversary, since they have those death barriers, it's kind of hard to really do anything outside the level. So you're kind of limited now. It's a shame in that regard, because glitches was what made the game a lot of fun after the fact. You could replayability. You could break things.
Yeah.
Put the pieces together in your own way or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, it's
now
it's,
they just kill you when you're outside the level for 10 seconds. So it's hard to get around that.
Yeah, that's what was really cool when I was younger. It's like me and my friends, that's what we used to do all the time, see how we can get out of the map. Granted, it was Halo 3, it wasn't Halo 2, but...
Well, Halo 3 had a bunch of glitches still. That
yeah,
was a good
well,
game.
I ran into one the other day. I put it on my Xbox clipboard or whatever. Basically, I just jumped off the side and I was running underneath the water where the Pelican crashed on the first level. I was just running around doing my thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was no barriers or anything to kill me.
Yep.
It's a different mindset.
Yeah.
It's like they're blocking off what's wrong with the game by death barriers now. There's nothing wrong with the game. It's a fun aspect of the game. Let us glitch out of it.
Well, they don't want anyone to exploit it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, BXR is a pure exploit. I mean, it's a glitch, but it's a bad glitch because you can exploit it in matchmaking and kind of take it to your advantage. But then again, I guess you could do that with super bounces. So I guess I'm just whatever. Don't get rid of super bounces. Those are amazing. That's the best part of Halo 2. Getting on top of that crane.
Headlong. Yeah.
Times.
Good stuff. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit about a few different topics tonight. First is something that just got announced today. And that was a new video series that 343 is releasing on the Halo channel called The Sprint. And they're going to be talking about an in-depth behind-the-scenes look at how Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta has come to fruition and all the stuff that they've kind of looked at building this experience and all the thoughts and the process of going through it. And the first episode is actually out right now. As we're recording this live, and they're releasing daily episodes for 6 days until December 23rd. So we're going to get these behind-the-scenes viewpoints of how some of the aspects of the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta is coming to fruition. So whenever you're doing code development, there's these kind of milestones that you do or there's certain objectives or tasks that you want to complete in a certain amount of time, and they're usually kind of clumped together. And what they call them in here is sprints. So you'll see that they have a board of sticky notes on it, and that's actually a project management tool that a lot of different companies use to track certain things that need to be done that they're grouped together or meet a certain deadline, something like that. So that's one of the reasons why it's called the sprint. And the first episode that they had was actually talking about them really nailing out the gameplay aspect of it. And you see this all just raw geometry, no special textures on anything. It's
it
all
looks
just
so
geometry.
Crazy.
Yeah, like you're looking at a 3DS Max or a Maya render of just geometry and shapes.
Yeah, but like the reticle and stuff is there, right? Like the did I see the gun models are like super simple versions of the gun models too, right? Or
right.
Or those full out.
Super simple mock-ups. The
yeah.
The reticles and the HUD elements are pretty basic. Not too much refined detail, just enough to where you have all the indicators that you need. You have they're still using the Halo 4 metals, which I hope they change. And a lot of the stuff, just to make sure that the game functionally works. It seemed like a lot of the ideas behind the weapons that they wanted to use were pretty much solid in the episode that was released today. They had some, I mean, like Drew said, there was a lot of the weapons that were not quite textured yet. The smart scope stuff has definitely changed a lot since some of the stuff that we've seen play tested, and when from just my own hands-on experience with it, there's been quite a few changes from the art direction side of things, and that's to be expected. But if you look at what they're kind of doing here, you start off very simple with how do you want the map to flow, and they already know. So the map truth, which is what the Vidoc, I guess, or these episodes are following, is that's the map that's it's being based off of. So Midship, they basically imported that in, rendered all the geometry, and they're messing around with making the map really flow well with some of the functionality that they're introducing with Halo 5 Guardians, which is all the Spartan abilities, so Clamber, Thruster Pack, Ground Pound, all that stuff.
Yeah, you see
a
really early version of Clamber and stuff, and they're showing camera flying around looking at the animation of the character model from the outside. I thought what I thought was interesting about this video is it's like chronological, and it starts at the beginning of January of 2014. Like,
right.
That's cool. It's cool to see like where they started, where they were like 10 months ago. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff I'm looking like. I want to see, like, that's why I like game development stuff so much. Just like to see how things change throughout the progression of the game. It's really cool to see.
The video isn't very splashy either. There's like extended sequences where it's just, you know, these guys looking over each other's shoulders, watching the pros play and try this stuff out, and really just kind of think out loud while they're looking at it. And you get a good like actual vision of what they're talking about, instead of just a quick interview with somebody that's like pre-scripted or something like that. You're really just watching these guys develop this game. It's very cool.
It feels like a Vidoc though, with how they structure it. They're going through it's very simplistic, laid out really well. Kind of going back between the playtest and then Quinn kind of explaining some of the ideas and concepts going behind the design process of how they want the maps to flow and change and all that. And then they they're leading up to the second episode, which is going to be the art direction that the map is going to take, and actually taking the ideas that the multiplayer team has of what they want to do with the map and how can they fit that with the artistic element, add some of the lore pieces in there, make it look all nice and pretty, but not too much fluctuate with how they have the map currently functioning. And while I think this video is mostly trying to look at the map perspective, it's kind of interesting to see that a lot of the functionality in terms of the Spartan abilities were pretty fleshed out already all the way back in January. And to have something like that be in the system for that long, I think I remember seeing Ground Pound in like the January build. With having the pro team there, I feel a lot better that they were working on this almost a freaking year ago that they had those features in there. They've had all this time to balance it out and play test it and make sure everything kind of fits well together. And I know there was a lot of pushback originally when a lot of the footage came out during Halo Fest about having the Spartan abilities, how they were very similar to armor abilities, and they introduced these kind of random aspects that people aren't exactly kosher with when it comes to Halo. But the fact that 343 has their pro team there that's really looking over all these things and how they fit into the greater Halo multiplayer mythos and making sure everything balances out all right, making sure it still feels like a fun game.
It's getting vetted, it, like in real time,
yeah,
which is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool that we got that Halo 5 teaser, the red trailer, like way back. And like everybody was seeing the Ground Pound, the sliding, you know, jumping off that thing and all that stuff. And like when everybody was talking about that, you know, that'd be really cool to see in the game, but that's not what's going to be in the game. It's really cool that when everybody seen it for the first time, I was impressed, like how close they got it like that, like the Ground Pound and stuff like that. Like I didn't honestly think that was going to be in Halo. Like I just thought it was like for visual stuff only.
Yeah, you got to think, you know, the like Blur probably got those assets or maybe saw what they were talking about. I would say spring of last year, or what? No, wait, was that trailer this year? No, that was last year, wasn't it? Was that this year?
I think it was this.
Yeah,
year.
It was this year.
That was this year.
E3. So you see that they have like in this doc, like they're showing you footage of the build in January. So I'm assuming that's kind of the build that Blur got to see and base their cinematics off of. And they really nailed it. You know, yeah. I mean, they like you're saying, we were unaware when we watched it that we were basically seeing, hey, this is Halo 5 multiplayer gameplay. Like you're watching it actually happen. In our minds, we're like, oh, there's no way. Like that's not going to, you know, not going to make it into the game. It just makes it look cool. But no.
Yeah. I mean, we had a discussion, me and my friend had a discussion way back. It's like, that'd be really cool to see, but it's like, now that we're going back today, like after seeing all the Halo 5 stuff, it's like, I wonder what 343 was doing when we actually seen that, what the, like they were looking on videos to see what people's reactions were, to see where they were, the direction they were going for the multiplayer. That's what really got my interest going too, was like, where 343 was thinking, or like looking at everybody, seeing what they were thinking about when they first seen that trailer. Goes, yeah, they're probably thinking this is just visual only, that this is what's going to be in the game. So let's see where they go with that.
Well, so I always think back to the Halo Wars stuff that in my mind, to my recollection, the first time I saw a Spartan really be a Spartan and do all the crazy stuff that you read about in all the books that you just, I mean, as Master Chief in Halo 1, 2, and 3, you just run around, shoot guys, and throw grenades, and like you can flip over your warthog with your mind, and like there's no physicality to it. There's no visceral, you know, control or there's nothing going on. So I think back to Halo Wars, and you see the three Spartans around the end of the game in that gorgeous cinematic, just flipping over and. You know, like doing the dual wield, spinning, flowing, and just beating the living crap out of elites. I mean, that was so cool. And I was like, why don't we do this in video games? Like, why don't I feel like a Spartan? The only way I feel like a Spartan is because there's like zero gravity and I'm just jumping over stuff. With this, it makes you, it just kind of lends itself a little more to feeling like this all powerful thing. And they started to step in that direction with Halo 4 and Master Chief. Kind of like with the, like, I know you had assassinations in Halo Reach, but when Master Chief assassinates an elite, dude, he beats the crap out of that guy. And it just looks so cool. And it just feels so cool. It feels like it's just got this more visceral feel to it. And I'm excited to have that in the game. I mean, in multiplayer, it is going to feel different and unique, but I like that. I think each game should feel at least a little unique. And feel like it's stepping forward, it doesn't always have to feel like it's revolutionizing the game and it's making it perfect and now we don't have to change Halo ever again. It's just going to be perfect, just like this. As long as it feels like they're making progress, I like that. And it makes me more excited for the single player. Like, is Master Chief going to feel like that? Is he going to be able to just slam on a room full of grunts, just jump down and slam down in there and just grunts go flying everywhere and explosions and stuff? Like, that sounds awesome. Give me that.
I can imagine, like, it's just really cool. I mean, when I seen the first gameplay footage of, like, the guy ground pounding and just beating the crap and, like, doing all these different things, like, it really made me wonder. It's like, how balanced is this, though? Like I'm looking at it, it's like, this is going to be good. Like, the thing I liked about Reach the most and stuck out of my mind is, like, you got that awesome, like, adrenaline shock real quick when you got that assassination. Like, when you're sitting there, you beat the crap out of somebody, you get them, and then you go and just go on a killing spree. Like, that was an incredible feeling. Like, it made you feel powerful in the game. And that was really cool. And now that you have this ground pound and you pull off some sort of really cool stunt that you'll probably ever do once in your life, it's going to be an awesome feeling.
And, you know, think about playing around in a map with Mantling. Like, now you can really get somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You won't miss those jumps.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys talk about ground pound, let's imagine, I haven't seen the video, which I haven't. Are you talking about where the chief actually pounds the ground and people are, like, thrown off the ground?
Yeah, I call it the Iron Man pound. What it kind of looks like in the first movie. How you just...
Yeah, I guess kind of so, yeah. So it's basically, once you jump from a high ledge or so, you have the ability to pull up this targeting reticle using your thruster packs as balance, and you have about a 2-second window to kind of pick a target where you can use your thruster packs to slam the ground. And if you hit anybody directly, it's an instant kill, but if you hit on the side of them, it just does splash damage.
I want to see someone do that into a vehicle. Like, that's got to blow a vehicle.
I don't know if we get vehicles in the beta, because it's mostly focused on a
beta. Yeah.
I think the time for the, like, how long you can hold in the air to do a ground pound, I think that's way too long, and I think the angle is way too far out. And that was something I wrote back to Josh and Quinn about in my kind of, like, analysis write-up of when I got my hands-on experience with it.
I kind of picked up the same thing when I watched Green Skull's unedited video. I was like, just watching him just hover up there and just pick guys out. And I'm like, man. And I would assume you're a target as well, obviously. But yeah, there's a good weight on it. It's, you kind of get a little too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that would be scientifically possible? Like, you know how people get into the physics of stuff?
Right. So the you're talking about hovering, making sure it fits with the lore. Absolutely. I think it's something that is there. Having those thruster packs there, with how effectively you can use it with the other Spartan abilities, I just don't think that you honestly have that much energy in the thruster packs to sustain that long of being held up there to prepare you being slammed to the ground. Now, I like the fact that you can zoom in and hover. And I know when I was playing a lot on Breakout and Crossfire, that
when you shoot, you kind of jump in the air and shoot, zoom and shoot.
Right. That you have that stability. Ability.
They have that in Zelda now.
In Zelda?
Yeah, that video of Zelda, he like jumps off of Eponia and he goes into this slow-mo mode where he targets enemies with his bow and arrow, and he just hovers there forever and shoots everything. It's crazy.
Okay.
Are you comparing Zelda with Halo?
I guess.
I'll draw all the lines. I'll connect everything to everything.
But
Kirby and Kratos are cousins.
One of the things that they have been focusing on with the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer stuff is making sure that some of the stuff that they're adding does fit within the lore of the universe, and I really appreciate that they're doing that.
Yeah.
And it's really it kind of sucks that you have to fit so much to the lore and on top of that fit it in with multiplayer, because there's certain things that makes sense from a lore perspective for Halo that you just can't do, because in multiplayer it would be a completely imbalanced experience. And that's one of those things where it would be nice to talk to some 343 employees and be like, how do you resolve this issue of, oh, this would be really cool and it fits within the universe, versus, oh, but we can't have it because it breaks these certain elements of multiplayer and it's supposed to be a unified experience and whatnot. So that would be an interesting conversation to have with 343.
I mean, some of the stuff that they could do is like maybe have some smart ability that you get, like not an ordinance, but something that anybody can pick up on the map. That way it's fair. Like maybe, I don't know, something in a, I don't know how to put this, like a power up or something that you can get on the map and have some sort of ability to, I don't know, like assassinate like 100 people at once or something. It's just theoretical. It's not really going to happen, but like, it'd be cool to see something like that, like an enhancement to your armor in some way to do certain stunts of some sort.
Well, they did that with MLG on Reach, where like an armor ability was something that you actually earned versus picking it at the beginning.
I can see that, but like I'm just saying, like not necessarily armor ability like to sprint or a jetpack or something like that. I'm saying, I don't have any examples right now. I can't think of any, but like something that would be like a power, like an invisibility or something on the map that enhances something. Like, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
So, back to the video. I didn't get to finish the whole thing, but you were saying that it cues it up for the next episode for it going to art direction.
Yeah. So they kind of tease a little bit about what's going to be shown off, and Vic DeLeon, who we've talked to quite a bit, and we're pretty good friends with him here on the show. He's the art lead for Halo and pretty much Halo 5 Guardians now. And they kind of teased a little bit into some of the stuff they consider when trying to add the art assets, like where does this play within the universe? What part of the ship is this in? What kind of things can we add in there in terms of holograms, lights, other little assets that would give it a really cool Halo feel but not interfere with the gameplay? And the description that they have for the stuff that's coming out on a daily basis, which was released on Xbox Wire today, and we have an article up on Podtacular for it, is the art team making decisions that can clash with the initial design concepts that were presented by the multiplayer team. And that's something that you kind of have to correlate with and work in conjunction with, going back and forth between the two teams until they can come up with a consensus on what they want to do. So that's going to be the next episode, which I'm really looking forward to. I really love Vic, and if you've had a chance to meet him at all, he's a really chill, laid back dude. He really is.
I just like art in general. Like some of those, like the concepts that they come out with for certain things, like before you even see it in the game. I love seeing that. Like,
that's all Sparth, man. He is just unbelievable. Sparth is insane. Like all the concept stuff that he did for Halo 4 and how a lot of that stuff became the covers of a lot of the novels, and
yeah,
love his stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I got a crap load of the concept art hanging around my room like that. Like people have a lot of posters and stuff. I'd rather have the concept art. Like I want to know what their inspiration was for that particular moment was. Like, how did they come up with that? Like, it's really, really neat.
I'm curious if artists, like, obviously they have to, but I'm curious of the thought process of creating concept art for, like, if you're creating concept art for, like, a comic book or even, like, poster or frames for, like, a movie or whatever, you're like, okay, this is what it would look like in this shot. How do you do that for a place that you know people are going to inhabit in a 3D space? Like, just how much does that change your process of how much you would be like, well, then I can put this here. But yeah, you know, if that goes there, that becomes a 3D model and people are going to walk around it. And what does the rest of that model look like? Like, you can't just throw a tree over here, because you have to think like, okay, I'm going to create this art for this location. And then if you're like Sparth, who's been working on something like Halo for years and years, you got to know that they're going to take that concept and then build it into a 3D space. And I wonder how much of that they take into account when they're deciding, you know, oh, this would look cool if I put this here or turn this to the side or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where an intense creative mind comes in. You know, I've talked to a couple of people that do some concept art for like comic books and stuff. Like, it's not anything of scale like a video game or anything, but it's cool that I had a conversation on how to get their mindset when they're actually creating, drawing, or painting, whatever it is that they're doing. They take a lot of stuff in consideration when they do that.
So rad. Well, I look forward to the next episode.
I do
you
too.
Said it's daily, right?
Right. So it's going to be released.
It's coming out over the weekend too?
Yeah. So every episode premieres 7 o'clock Eastern time, 4 p.m. Nice. Pacific time every day until the 23rd. So the 23rd will be the last one. 6 episodes in total. And again, you can see the full schedule and what they're going to be covering on each episode on the Xbox Wire article, or you can head over to our website, podtacular.com, and check out the article that we have there. We also list it there as well. But yeah, 6 episodes is going to be some pretty good stuff. The first episode was 18 minutes long, so it's a decent-sized video. You get quite a bit of content in there, and it's laid out really well. The first one really focused on the multiplayer team. You get to hear from Ghost Ayame, you get to hear from Quinn, and we're going to see a lot of the art side of things for the next episode, and that's going to be really cool. At least I think it's cool.
No, this is incredible. This is what something I've been wanting from 343 for a while, is the behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't get to see.
Right.
Like, that's just, like, Bungie did that several times, and, like, that.
Well, behind the scenes now would just be, like, fire and people running through the halls screaming and...
Right, well, I mean, in the process of them actually making something that
I have
in my hands and playing, like, it's just cool. I think that's the reason why I want to get into game development so much, is because it fascinates me more than anything else that I know. Like, it's a really cool thing to see.
Well, this and then the remaking of the Halo 2 Legend, they feel like Vidocs, like the Bungie Vidocs did. The other videos that they've done,
like, they're a little higher quality. Like, they feel a little higher quality. I remember being really impressed by Bungie Vidocs, but I went back and watched a bunch of, like, the Halo 3 and Halo Reach stuff recently, and they were getting really good during Reach, but there were some of them that you go back and you're like, man, I remember this feeling a lot more like put together, and they've really stepped that expectation. They've met that expectation, and I feel like they're exceeding it now with these kind of little more meatier projects. I think the only thing that I don't like right now that 343 has put out is the tone of the bulletin feels super dumb. Like, it feels like it feels like a BuzzFeed article that's all about Halo stuff. I'm just like, oh, come on, man.
Right.
The music is all like, bow, 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 bow. Now we're going to go over and talk about this. They're like, oh, all right, cool. Like, calm down. I don't know.
When I seen the Halo 2 remastered video, like, I was just going through all this stuff, like all the stuff that I play and all the stuff that I hear in my headset. It's like, how did they come up with this? Or how, like, what sound is that they got? And there's different things in there. Like, when they explained it, it just clicked. And I think that was, like, I missed that in video games, like different developers doing that. And I'm really glad that 343 is bringing it back. And especially with this, like, they were getting daily content from them to show what we're going to be experiencing in the coming week or so. Like, it's really, really cool.
If you're interested in that kind of thing, one of the best, like, behind-the-scenes/documentary video game things I've ever seen is Grounded, the documentary about the making of The Last of Us. It's insane. It's really, really, really well done.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people talk about that.
The guys at Area 5 put that together, and they're super high-quality, like, filmmakers and stuff, and it was very cool. I highly recommend you check that out if that's kind of like your thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I would agree. I think this is what we've all been waiting for, right? Just kind of acknowledging of the process. I think 343 taking over Halo and how they're making Halo is something that all Halo fans have been really curious about. And it's something that I understand there's probably a lot of awkwardness, and there's been a lot of pressure and just stress around all of this for a lot of people, because it's a monumental task. You know, you're basically taking over the, hey, I'm going to paint the Mona Lisa from now on. And you're like, wait, really? You? Like, who are you? What do you do? What makes you so qualified? And I think they really put their nose down and focused on just making the game and making team work together and like kind of popping that cherry, so to speak, with Halo 4. And since then, they've really started to kind of gain some confidence. And obviously, you know, what's going on with the Master Chief Collection right now is, has, I'm 1000% sure, humbled them all the way back down to the floor, which could be good. I mean, that makes the, that means they're going to try that much harder to make sure that Halo 5 is the best game that it could possibly be. But I think we've just been waiting to see behind the curtain, right? And this is them finally doing it. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, another thing is, it's like they're taking over a project that was so huge and is such a, has a huge fan base over it. And they're trying to make their own spin on it that, that makes it their own. You know, Bungie had their way of doing it. They are trying to have their way of doing it too. It's just people need to learn that this is their game. You know, different things are going to happen with that. And a lot of people were still trying to make that connection with them. And it, like, it, it also shows that what goes into making a video game. Like, everybody thinks it's just oh, it's this, or it's simple as that. It's not that simple at all. It's the most complex thing in the world. Like, you can have one little thing of code go completely wrong and it can screw up the whole game. Like, it's just really, really hard to explain.
You're making a movie and an album and an interactive event all at once. That costs like way more than all of those things combined. So Dust, I know you wanted to talk about Halo in 2014, but this stuff makes me excited to think about Halo in 2015. And when you're talking about 343 and their imprint on Halo, if you ask me right now, what do you want to see next from Halo? Obviously, I think Halo 5 Guardians is going to be a relatively traditional Halo experience because we play as the Master Chief. There are expectations there. I would love to see 343 really get bold and be like, hey, guys, we have the Halo first person shooter thing going. Like, that's a thing you couldn't, I mean, you could try to screw that up, but I mean, it's a pretty set formula, but we have some other ideas and here they are. Like, just completely break the mold, totally dominate and just destroy everyone's expectations of what Halo could or should be and give us something crazy, you know, give us some crazy, like, third person action game or some like crazy spin on what makes Halo Halo. But as long as it feels like it's in the Halo universe, that's how you know they've nailed it. And I think it's until they do something that is completely unexpected, but still rings true to being in the Halo universe, they're really just, you know, trying to recreate that, that magic that Bungie made. So I hope that they really go for it in the coming years. I hope they just completely shatter expectations.
I mean, that's just it right there. You know, you're trying to hit lightning twice in the same thing. Bungie came out with something that was one of a kind. And to take over something that big is – it's hard. It really is. It's hard. Like, you have another franchise like Call of Duty and a different team. Well, that's kind of a bad example. But, like, if you had someone take over that entire franchise and then throw something completely different in the spin of things, people are getting pissed. You know, it's –
but I think it'd be more impressive. I think it'd be more respectful, or well, something to respect more is if you took that familiar thing and you took it into a foreign area and still made it work. I'm not saying like, I don't want to see another first person Halo. I'm saying like, I want to see them continue to what they're doing here and then really just ratchet it up, like do something else.
So
it'd be really cool.
With Halo, it's kind of tricky because there's been a lot that's exhausted with Halo. What you can kind of do to create that iconic Halo experience. There's a lot of stuff that a lot of fans don't want to see change. You're always going to have those people that don't want to see change. And you're going to have those people that embrace the change and embrace the fact that 343 is going to be trying to make a game that's going to evolve over time and put their own stamp on it.
Evolve.
But I think, right? Yeah, I know. I think.
Sorry, I have to do that. It's contracts.
I think. With what they're doing with the Spartan abilities is kind of them stretching out a little bit past their comfort zone and really trying to hone in on something they think can work really well within the Halo franchise. I mean,
I feel
you look at the armor abilities, how it's been set in Halo Reach and Halo 4. Both of those got very poor reception, but they're still kind of taking the best of those, leaving them in the game, but incorporating them in such a way that is very Halo-esque, and that is having an ability that everybody has. One of the things that really made the adoption rate for Halo 4 just plummet after it launched was there were so many random variables in the game that it was unpredictable. It wasn't fun to play because you had so many different random things that I could call in a weapon and I could randomly have a rocket launcher on the map for for some reason now, and then someone could have the ability to see through walls while I have the ability to sprint forever or have a jetpack, and it was completely imbalanced. And Halo has always been the game of give and take, weapon for weapon, grenade for grenade balance of vehicle of the golden triangle. And
yeah,
what they did in Halo 4 was completely destroy that golden triangle. It was more like a golden drawing of random collections of lines.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that they could have done differently in Halo 4. But the thing that I like the most, and a lot of people are going to give me slack on it, is the fact that they upped the pace. Like, there's a faster pace in
Halo
4.
You have to. You have to do that.
I mean, well, that's just it. It's like everybody was downing Sprint. Everybody didn't like Sprint. People didn't feel like it belonged in a Halo game. And I mean, things are evolving now to where you're having you have all these different things. Like you have, you know, parkour on Titanfall. You have all like just different things, and everything is just improving to make the game better. And I think them making it a faster paced game, and the fact that they're throwing in sprint again, but they're limiting you on what it is that you can do with sprint. Like, so if you're running, you're not going to have a shield. That, to me, that's the perfect balance.
See, that's balance. The balance. Yeah,
that's the perfect balance. And it's like, that'll also make you a better player if you can sit there and run and get out of the way of things and still have your health without getting shot. Like, to me, that's just going to make you a better player. That's just my personal opinion on it. I like the fast pace of Halo 4. What I'm seeing of Halo 5 as of right now is just, it's mind blowing to me. Like, it really is. Like, this is like a multiplayer that I've been waiting for a while. The fast pace of it, the 60 frames per second, everybody has everything. Just the way the maps look and the way the game ends, it's looking really, really good.
Dust, you were saying that you felt like what they're doing, like these new versions of what you would call Spartan abilities and armor abilities or whatever, like that stuff feels like them breaking out. I don't necessarily see it as that. I see it as, you know, the way Bio sees it, it's keeping Halo relevant. Like when I played Titanfall earlier this year, and then when I picked up Destiny and felt the controls of Destiny, I was like, oh man, they better nail this, because first person shooters have really taken that next step. I don't want to say it's a leap. Not necessarily a leap, but it really is that next step, and it's mobility. Mobility is the new catchphrase for first-person shooters. I mean, aim down sights and kill streaks and stuff like that became part of like the conversation of first-person shooters of the last generation with Halo and or with Call of Duty and the success of Modern Warfare. But I think this next generation of shooters is all about mobility. How do you get around the map? How do you feel like you're just flying? How do you make the player feel powerful and agile and able to get in and out of a situation or maneuver across level design in a way that doesn't have them bumping up against the wall and just sitting here going like, oh, what do I do now? And that is something that Halo has to have, or else even though us hardcore old school Halo guys might be like, this is the Halo I grew up playing, everyone else is going to be like, this is boring. There's something missing here. And they won't know how to put their finger on it, but we will know if it doesn't feel mobile and fast and fluid and powerful. And Dust, you've played the game. You've touched it. And I think you've felt that, right? You feel like this is Halo, but with, you know, a turbocharger slapped on, and it just it's staying relevant with the speed of today's first-person shooters, right?
Right. There's lots that they're doing to try to make it more fast-paced, which there's, for me, there's only so fast you can freaking go.
Yeah, it's called Unreal Tournament.
That's very true. But when you look at some of the stuff that they're doing, it is definitely, there is a slow movement towards faster game pace, and you see it with a bunch of different games, Call of Duty kind of being the big stickler of it. But you look at Battlefield, that one's still a relatively slow game, and that one works well for a lot of people.
Much bigger scale. I think that works as fast as it can for the size of encounters you get in those games, for Battlefield specifically, right?
If you can find someone.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to touch base with you mentioned that like you have the people that are expecting change and the other people that do not like change. I'm one of the few on my podcast and what it sounds like to be here too, where I do not want change at all.
Sure.
I mean, Reach and Four have dramatically changed well beyond my comfort zone at all.
The difference between two and three was much smaller. That delta between the two is much, much smaller.
And they had some good stuff, like boarding vehicles was a groundbreaking aspect to the multiplayer.
Sure.
But I mean, one of the big things that made Halo CE so popular and so good was, they actually quoted it themselves, but we created 5 minutes of gameplay that was just pure fun, and you can play over and over again.
Their patented 30 seconds of fun.
Yeah, that's it. And to me personally, I don't agree with the concept of making it bigger and badder, like Expendables 1 versus 2 versus 3, where it gets crazier and crazier. I want good gameplay. I want good maps. I want perfection. I don't need to be amazed by new abilities and new traits and their new skyboxes. I mean, I'm not looking to be wowie-zowie.
Well, going on that right there, when you're saying the maps, like, that is something that I honestly feel that Halo 4 lacked. Like, you can't go on Halo 4 and say, you know, this is a memorable map. Like, Halo 3, you could go the Pit, Guardian. You know, you have Halo 2, you have Terminal, you have all these different things. But on Halo 4, it's like Haven? Maybe
even Exile, like you see Exile Skyline. And you're like, oh, it's this map. There's so many maps that when you physically see them, you're like, oh yeah, this one. But they don't stick with you. It's almost offensive sometimes when you're like, man, this map is called Harvest. You named a map Harvest, which I'm pretty sure might take place on Harvest. And it is the crappiest map. This map is terrible, but it looks amazing. It's got a lot of cool lore going on in it. And you're just like, what a waste. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the best maps that I could say that had a decent skybox and had a lot of good flow with it was Haven. Like, that is probably the only map that I can honestly say that was good. Like, I liked playing on it. And I think
it was so overplayed, though. Like, it was the only map I ever could play. Like,
well, I mean, that's
like Countdown.
Oh, well, that's just it right there, is that it's the map that everybody wanted to play because it was good. Yeah. Everybody didn't want to sit there and play. Like, I don't even remember. Adrift. Like, Adrift was good. I honestly liked Adrift at some, like, certain points of it. Like, there was a lot that they could have done a little bit better with it, in my opinion. But
yeah, there was a lot of frustrating points in a map like that.
Well, Adrift was excellent for a skirmish. I think Two Flag was phenomenal on Adrift.
Yeah, but, one of the things that I honestly like that 343 is doing now, I mean, granted, there wasn't a lot of them. Actually, there wasn't a lot of them at all. But one of them that they did was, I can't even remember. It was the Regicide. There we go. That is mind blank. Regicide was an incredible fast-paced game type. I loved it. Like, that's the game type that I play. I'm a Rumble guy. I want to be that king to sit there and annihilate everybody that's there. And I think they did that extremely, extremely well. Now, if you put that on a map that isn't that great, it's going to complicate things. Like, if you put that on Haven, it works perfectly. To me, at least, it works perfectly because you have the – everything's, like, good flow. Like, it has the perfect flow of it to me. But, like, if you put it on just – like Harvest or something, like, it doesn't work. Like, I don't know what it is, but they got the game type, a couple of the game types right. Like, granted, Flood wasn't, it was fun, but there was a couple of things that were missing from it. Like,
I'm curious to see.
Regicide was unbalanced.
No. Not really. No, I think it was, a lot of people that say that is that it was too quick. People that were getting too many points, you're like, oh, I'm getting kills, but I'm not getting the points like this guy is. Or it's because people were getting the 30-point regicides and that they're
– It just doesn't the power struggle doesn't jump as far as people want it to. It, you're right. It does. It can end quickly. But then it can end quick and then you're just back into it if you want to do it again and try to win this time. Dust, you wanted to talk about Halo in 2014. I wanted to cue that up for you.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already tried to cue that quite a few times already.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, the Halo 5
the Halo 5 discussion is good because that's something that was came out today, and I totally wasn't expecting it, but it was a nice pleasant surprise. I mean, that kind of changed the purview of what I was planning to do for the podcast, but for
this
the
whole
most
weekend
part,
is going to be beta stuff.
Oh,
all
my
is
gosh.
Gonna, man, I'm so excited.
Woo. Yeah, I'll be probably making a few videos this weekend, as well as packing, as well as trying to get stuff for the mold taken care of and doing my last minute Christmas shopping and writing Christmas cards and what.
Oh, man,
what
they picked a good time to do this.
No.
They picked up for you. It's, that's being,
I feel for all the kids that are like sitting at home and like the family just got into town this weekend and they're like, but I want to play Halo. No, we got to watch the game. Your grandpa just drove into town this weekend. He's going to want to watch the game. No Xbox this weekend, but it's the weekend. It's this weekend. This is happening. Like, we didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that 343 surprised us with. Now, there was a topic that came up today on Twitter. Is this what 343 is giving us for the lack of what Master Chief was in the beginning? Like, that was something that popped up a couple times. I don't think that's the case because it's not everybody. It's only for a select few people that are doing something for Xbox.
Yeah.
Now,
well, and everyone that's in the preview program, which is a lot of people.
Well,
right.
Yeah, I mean,
which isn't even all the people that bought Master Chief Collection. Yeah, you're right. It extends beyond that.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, man. I'm excited for it though.
Well,
like when
no,
I like it's,
you still I think you still have to have the Master Chief Collection in order to access it.
Is that the is,
no? You're right. You're right. Well, I don't know. Do you think it's going to be a separate app download thing, or do you have to launch it?
Well,
it
on if you go on your extras, the Halo 5 multiplayer beta is on there.
It's a separate download, but you have to access it through the Master Chief Collection for the normal
it's
beta.
Anybody who has the Master Chief Collection and is in the Xbox preview program gets the early access this weekend to the beta, is what you're saying. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think for the early access, it's whether or not you get one of the codes or you're part of the preview. I don't think that's explicitly tied to the Master Chief Collection for the early beta, but I think for the normal beta, it is.
I got two messages from the Xbox like preview message thing on my Xbox that say, hey, thank you for being part of the preview program. As a reward, we're going to give you early access to the Halo 5 beta. And just keep an eye on this, and you'll be getting a code or whatever.
Yeah,
and I got two of them, which makes me think that I think they're giving everyone that meets whatever whatever criteria I meet by getting that message, I think I'm getting two codes. So I'm definitely going to try to.
You get two codes because one of them is the download, and then one of them is the access.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, now that there's a couple of people I know that aren't in the preview program that haven't gotten a message at all, and they're worried that they might get it. So
yeah,
it's
going to take time. I think this is going to be a phased rollout. Like if anybody remembers any of the other big betas like Titanfall and stuff, like people who were, you know, met the criteria, it took a while for them to get what they needed. And some of them got it like right away. It's just, this is how you do this. You got to phase it out. You can't just flip a switch on Tuesday and say, hey, everybody's got this now. Cause then you get, you know, servers crashing and stuff. And when you're doing a beta, I don't think this is the network test beta. Like this is going to be a struggle and a strain on the network, obviously, for matchmaking, which they're obviously having problems with. But this is obviously just all about gameplay and, you know, balance and what people think about where Halo 5 multiplayer is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, when I seen that today, like that's the first thing that I seen when I got off work today. I was ecstatic. I really was. Like when I seen that, I was like, oh wait, no, this is just for preview people. It's like, wait, what? I was a little confused at first.
Did you see they're implementing a way to give feedback on like any issues that you encounter with the beta. So if you encounter an issue, like the game crashes or something like that, it was saying press and hold the Xbox jewel and you'll get the pop-up and there'll be a button there that says give feedback or whatever, and you can just do it right there.
Yeah, that's a standard feature for everything now on the Xbox.
I love that. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's a cool feedback. It's just making it that much simpler.
Right. But there's also the feedback they need to give them based on your experience with the game. So that is done over on the Waypoint forums.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's true.
So there's both kinds of feedback. There's the feedback where it's like, hey, this doesn't actually work. And that's where you do the give feedback through the Xbox. And then there's the feedback that you go to the Waypoint forums and be like, hey, I played this many games. I feel that this needs to be changed because of this, because this happened, whatever. So if you feel like the thruster pack is too overpowered, you give specific examples of why you think it's overpowered, certain cases where it may have gotten used unfairly against you. Maybe you think that it gave you an unfair advantage against other players and whatnot. So you have multiple kinds of feedback that you can give, and there's different methods of doing so. But definitely use as many tools as you can when it comes to giving feedback, because this is our time to influence the future of Halo. Like, as much influence as the fans have ever been given to influence Halo. Ever.
And that's what I'm kind of worried about as of right now, is because there's going to be those people that are going to be nitpicky and give it a bad thing of just, oh, well, this is dumb because this doesn't work. You know, that's something that people are going to have to stress. Like, people are stressing as it is. It's a beta. You know, this isn't the full game. This isn't what Halo 5 is going to be. Yes, it's a big part of it, but you're going to have different changes. And I think them throwing up the pop-up menu or whatever to give that feedback, I think that's going to be a little bit better than just getting Twitter feedback or social interaction or something like that. Yeah, that's going to be great that you're going to get.
They'll absorb all of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what your community management's for, is to just suck up all that stuff and then try to interpret it. I think, you know, us as community leaders, it's our job to go out there and remind players like, hey, are you here telling us about your bad time? You know, well, then be sure to tell them about it.
Yeah.
And then if you are having an amazing time, well, just remember when you're done having an amazing time, remember to go tell them about it.
Yeah. See, what I want 343 to do, though, is to own what they do. Like, I find that 343 is a little too indecisive, and they change.
Yeah, I'd like them to be more confident. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like, go Bungie, stick with what they decide.
Yeah, Bungie had the little reticule bloom, and they said, well, screw you, that's what we want. I mean, eventually, towards the end, when 343 took it over, they bent over backwards and took away the reticule bloom, which I was happy about, but Bungie always owned their game. And 343, they need to just man up and just stick with it.
I think they're still trying to figure out what their game is, because they've only had the reins of the Halo franchise really for the last 5 years. And
I don't know, Bungie, man. 5 years is a long time.
Bungie got really lucky with how well Halo went off the ground. Granted, there were a lot of things that you look back at, like the God Pistol, and you're like, how did that ever even pass as a balanced weapon? And there's some really big quirks with Halo CE that you just kind of learn to get around because that was how the game was. But there's some, I mean, you look at games today and look at like Halo 1 or Halo 2, and you just see some glaring bugs and glitches. Like, how that wouldn't even work today for a game. So it's one of those things.
I think that's what Rob is trying to say, though, right? Is if Halo 5 has quirks about it that makes it unique, and in retrospect, people didn't like or couldn't believe that it had or whatever, good. It makes it unique. I think that's. I mean, right now, yeah, you're right. They're trying to just nail down what it's going to be, right?
Well, and they're trying to figure out what their contribution to Halo is going to be. They tried to continue on with the expanse of what Reach did with the loadouts and trying to go that route, and they saw how poorly it was received. And to be honest, compared to Bungie, 343 and Microsoft are a little more in the market of making money than they were.
Yeah,
sure.
I agree.
They're more looking to make this as a franchise they can really make a buck off of. And
I think that's the beauty of 343, though, is it's all about Halo. This is Microsoft saying, hey, here you go. And we're giving one studio all of the Halo. Like, you get all of it. You can do the books. You can make decisions on how you want to do magazines, comic books, TV shows, movies. the next game, whatever type of game you want to do, or however you want to do DLC, whatever it's, I think that's the cool part. But I think it should be encouraging that they have people that they identified to be capable of handling those kinds of choices and sticking to their guns and saying, like, you know, just trust us with this. We have a vision. We want to do this. But I think the feedback and getting this stuff so early, I think you're right. Maybe they don't know what the next thing that they want to do with Halo is, but I think they have a plan. I think they just want feedback from the fans to make it feel as good as possible. Like, I think they do have a pretty good idea at this point of what Halo 5 is going to be, especially when we're talking about multiplayer. And I think this feedback is just them saying, like, hey, it's fan service, literally. It's just saying, like, hey, we want to do this with you. We want to make Halo 5 with you.
Right. And if you look at what they're doing with Halo 5, in talking with Quinn when I was at the Master Chief Collection launch party, they're sticking more to their guns with Halo 5, I think, than kind of the shiftiness and like, oh, well, we admit we did this wrong for Halo 4 kind of thing. And I think that's just been part of, like, Halo 4.
Right?
Yeah. And Halo 4 was their first full-fledged game that they worked on. And they made a lot of dumb decisions, and they fessed up to those dumb decisions. And I think they're still kind of getting their feet underneath them as kind of managing this big franchise. But
yeah,
it seems like Halo 5 is actually moving in a direction where they're kind of figuring out what their Halo is going to be. What's their stamp on the franchise? It's going to be like, yes, we added this to Halo. We made this in Halo, just make it that much more awesome. And I think they're starting to do that with Halo 5.
It's confidence, right? I mean, like,
it's not necessarily confidence. It's identifying something that really fits well within the universe, and then,
but is new.
Well, that keeps it fresh and, yeah, new.
Right, right.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be a matter of, well, we know what we're doing and you don't, because there's quite a few of the people that work at 343.
I just mean confidence. I guess what I mean is, I think that them as a team, you know, they were all new. They were working together. A lot of the people, a vast majority of that group, had never worked together. And now that product was Halo 4. And I'm saying, like, when you think about it, 343 was a new development studio when they put out Halo 4. Like, that was their first thing they ever worked on together as a team, and they made Halo 4. And in my, you know, from that perspective, Halo 4 is pretty awesome. And now they're to the point where they're working on, okay, we've worked together as a team for a few years. We're all used to working together, and we're getting confident with, you know, our craft as a team. And that's what, you know, now they can kind of play around with it and really make their stamp, like you're saying, with Halo 5.
There is a certain part of it, though, where they do want to make sure that the fans enjoy the game, because at the end of the day, the thing that's going to make them money is the fans of the game. They could make all the ads, but if they want to make sure people are sticking with the franchise, then they need to make sure that the fans are on board with the stuff that they're going with, kind of the direction they're taking. It's something that you really don't know until the final product comes out whether or not something's going to float. And
it's a balancing act that what you're talking about with, you know, them, you know, like Rob said, it's important for them to own it and say, hey, this is what we've decided to do. We're the ones that make Halo. You're not. Just trust us. We want to make a great game that you'll love, but we want to make it ours and our own. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, respecting the fans and saying, hey, we want your input because what you think matters to us. It makes me think of things like Broken Age and the guys at Double Fine, and just basically building that game in a glass bubble where everyone can see every single thing that they do, every decision that they've made with Broken Age, and every, you know, gameplay implementation, or like putting this thing into it or cutting it, or, you know, we were thinking about going this direction with the story. What do you guys think about that? And they were taking feedback from every single angle, and probably a little more than they expected to take on. And it's a balancing act of how much you make sure that you're, as an artist and as a creative entity. You're making your own thing. But as, you know, someone who appreciates and respects the fans that put you there, letting them kind of like share their thoughts and feelings as well. It's right. It's a tough balancing act.
Right. And if you think about it, most of the people that are at 343 at some point were fans of the franchise. So they come from very similar shoes.
Every single person that works there because they love Halo, right?
Not every person, but...
Well, I mean, that's... I feel like it is. I feel like to some extent they're there because they wanted to work on Halo. Maybe not because it's their favorite game in the world, but because they wanted to work on it. But I gotta assume, at least for like the lead roles and the people who are making decisions, maybe not the people who are physically working on it, like the guy who's drawing the dust in the air or making the floors in all the levels, like that guy doesn't necessarily mean he's the biggest Halo fan in the world, but anybody who's in charge or makes decisions in at 343 Industries, if I was hiring you and I worked at 343 Industries, part of the process would be like, you need to tell me why Halo is like the most important thing in your life. I mean, I gotta assume that that's the case there. And what I love about 343 Industries is there is physically nothing in the world like it. Like even the guys that make World of Warcraft or the people that make Star Wars, they also made StarCraft and Indiana Jones. You know, no, there is no other place that's just like, hey, we just make this one thing and we love it that much. I love that. I think that's personally just one of the coolest things I've heard in gaming.
Right. This beta is going to be a big showing of what they're planning for the future. I know there's going to be a lot of people that don't really like the change, but to be honest, to keep the franchise fresh, there's going to need to be some changes that come down the road. And I think what they're doing with integrating the Forbidden Word armor abilities into these Spartan abilities that are common to everybody, I think that's a step in the right direction back where that balance of all the different Halo assets really comes into play. And they mentioned taking that golden triangle and making it more like the golden square, so adding a fourth tier of balanced ability. So you have your weapons, grenades, melee, and now you have this ability. And
Did they actually say it's a square? I can't remember.
No, they don't say a square, but it's four different four different areas. So you take 3 points instead of which is triangle.
It's a square.
Yeah,
I got you.
But you get the point. But just taking that aspect, I think the real purpose of the beta here, what they're trying to do, is bouncing out that fourth pillar. I think that's what they're really trying to nail down. They're pretty set, from me talking with them, they're pretty set on all these Spartan abilities that they're wanting to incorporate in the game. They're pretty sure that all these things are going to be good for the franchise, which I think is a move back in the right direction. You're looking at the balancing aspect, making sure everyone has all the same abilities and whatnot. I think that's good. I think the beta is really going to be the true test of what their implementation of those Spartan abilities are and how to best balance that and incorporate that from a multiplayer stance. And then you have the crossfire game mode in there as well. And that's going to be kind of testing out their implementation of an arena shooter style.
Man, that's cool.
Game type. So that's going to be, I mean, that's where the beta I think really is falling here, is testing out that fourth pillar to
the spectating. They're introducing that in the beta.
Yeah.
That was part of something they talked about this week.
That's going to be great.
How broken will that be this weekend?
Oh, boy.
Well, they're testing it. They're going to have some streams showing it off.
Yeah.
Some early builds of it.
What were we going to say, Rob?
The biggest thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, we're looking for changes. We're looking for something new. My biggest concern is that we make too radical of changes too soon, which could possibly hurt the longevity of Halo. I mean, because, you know, people knock Call of Duty for reproducing the same game over and over again. I mean, you get the same thing with basketball, football, you name it, where they come up with a new game every year.
That's Activision's MO. Specifically, Call of Duty falls under the Activision MO of, let's take Tony Hawk and Guitar Hero and stuff and just drive it into the ground, soak every single dollar out of it. And then when Call of Duty's dead, hey, look at that. They got Destiny laying around.
You got a point, but it gets to the point where when Halo 6 or 7 comes around, how can you make a better and more faster paced and more bad butt, I don't want to say a cuss word, than the last one? It just, my concern is when they evolve the game that dramatically, because Halo 1 and 2 wasn't that big of a change. Halo 2 to 3, not that big. 3 to Reach, yes. Reach to 4, dramatic, and it looks like 5 is going to be a big step up too.
Halo 3 change was kind of significant. You had the new equipment in there.
You were on a new console.
That is true.
They added Forge.
New console.
Theater.
See, that I'm cool with. I got no problem with that.
That's features. That's not core gameplay.
You're talking about gameplay.
Yeah, he's talking about core gameplay.
The equipment didn't bother me at all because it's something you earned versus something you spawned with.
Right.
I'm just saying that if they make Halo 5 incredibly radically different, then 6 has to be that. 7 has to be that.
Not necessarily. I would say that Halo 5 and a lot of the stuff that we're seeing in the gameplay, specifically when we're talking about the beta, because literally we're seeing like just the smallest slice of what this game could be. But what we've seen so far feels like what I was saying, where it's keeping it relevant. Now, does that mean when Halo 6 comes out, have shooters completely changed? Then yeah, they're going to have to stay relevant. I don't think it's necessarily a like, well, it's the next one. We got to make it bigger and better. Not the Michael Bay syndrome. More just the like, well, we can't let Halo turn into Duke Nukem and it just becomes, it just feels old and stupid. And you know, it might be a great throwback for old school fans who love the purity of it or whatever. It's just got to stay relevant. So not necessarily has to be exponentially bigger, better, badder, longer, uncut, and all this stuff, but just staying relevant with the times, whatever the shooting genre is doing then.
I understand where you're coming from about having too much of a radical change. I think we saw the extent of that in Halo 4, and I think the changes that they're making to Halo 5 are significantly less radical than what they did in Halo 4, because they're taking some of the stuff that you already had in Halo Reach and Halo 4 in terms of armor abilities, and they're trying to boil that down into a balanced aspect that you see in Halo 1, 2, and 3, where everyone starts with the same weapon, same abilities, same grenades, all that kind of stuff. And I think that to me is the quintessential piece of Halo, is that everyone has the same capabilities across the board. And you don't have that with any other shooter, really. Because Call of Duty, you can customize your own class. Battlefield, you have your specific class that you go to. But those are very different style games. And something that has traditionally been true with Halo, not necessarily in the last few years because of how it's been implemented, but you look at Halo 1, 2, and 3, the thing that was really iconic about Halo is you had that balanced gameplay. Everyone started with the same thing. You have the same chance of grabbing all the power weapons and the power-ups as anyone else does. It's just a matter of your implementation of strategy that is the big focus and what determines how well you play. And I think the way they're implementing...
Hey, freaking man.
I think the way that they're implementing the thruster pack stuff, I think that's really focusing on that balanced aspect of gameplay that Halo's known for. And I think that's where 343 is trying to refocus and trying to find their niche within Halo.
And adding on to that triangle like you're talking about, I can totally see what you're saying, where, you know, all of the other points of that triangle, like they have that nailed. It works. The shooting.
Right.
The melee, the grenades, like that. It all feels great. Yeah, yeah. And now trying to add a little bit to that so that it feels fresh and it feels still like Halo, but just with a little more muscle to it, or, you know, taking advantage of the fact that, hey, this game is running on a third generation now. And how can we use that? How can the developer use that cachet of like just bigger, stronger machines? Because especially with the way that these multiplayer maps are going, we're not going to get Levolution in this stupid game. I mean, we're not going to get like crazy, you know, skyboxes that are just like super distracting and stuff. They want it to be competitive and they want it to be, you know, simplified and stuff. So that leaves you a lot of room to make the game still have a little more oomph to it. So it feels like, you know, everything from clamber to sprint and jetpack, or the boosters and all that stuff, like that all feels like just taking advantage of that stuff and right. using it to improve the gameplay and make it a feel like a better, more unique experience.
And the beta yeah. is here for us to really test that out, really test out the Spartan abilities and see how they need to be tweaked in order to be balanced with the rest of the golden pillars. I believe that's the point of the beta that they're trying to capture, is get a feel for, from just a core gameplay perspective, get a feel for that fourth pillar. And then for the maps, it's to see how their map design really facilitates those new abilities and how they can look at designing maps in such a way that they are fun and intuitive for the new style that they're implementing. And one of the things that Forgers have always talked about as well is when you introduce stuff like Thruster Pack, when you introduce stuff like Sprint and Jetpack, it changes the dynamic and flow of the maps. And while I can understand a lot of their frustration with it making things a little more complex, I think that's just the nature of how complex games are starting to get. And you really have to think outside the box in terms of map design and really account for the different abilities in there. Not to like discredit any of the Forgers that are out there for Halo, but it just means that you got to step up your game.
Yeah, yeah, oh, for real. Yeah, so, they're going to have to, I mean, with all the stuff that they're implementing with this Halo, the Halo 2 Anniversary Forge is such a great indicator of where they're going with Halo Anniversary or Halo Forge. And you know, when you add to the sandbox abilities like Mantle and all that stuff, like, what are they going to do? Like, how are they going to add that into a Forge map? Like, how are they going to account for that? It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool to see some of the maps, like, going through the footage I was watching earlier today. Was just going through and watching. And one of the things that I'm getting from it, and we've talked about this before, but it's a really fast-paced game. And one of the maps, the one that had – that's in, like, Space or the Infinity. I don't remember which one it was – what it was
the
called.
Impact
the
one
where – I think so. But it kind of simulates, like, a paintball course. It really – like, I don't –
Yes,
I don't,
yeah.
Like, I like that. I like that a lot. Especially coming from a paintballer, like I like how fast paced the game can go, and like just different things like that. It's going to be interesting to see how it handles clamber and ground pound and different things like that. Like Dust could probably explain a little bit more than I can because he's actually, you know, got hands on with it. But it's from what I'm seeing, it looks really cool, and it looks like it goes really well with the map.
Hey, what is your guys' opinion of going back to teleports versus main cannons?
I like teleporters better. Like, man cannons are cool, but the opening sequence is pretty cool with the man cannons, but I think the teleporters I like a little bit better.
It depends
on
the flow of the map.
Why do they take away the man cannons?
They're completely gone? Do we know they're not going to be in Halo 5 at all?
No, I don't think so.
If you're like a 4, I mean, and Reach before then also, it's like they felt compelled to take away. I mean, is there even any...
Dude, Avalanche?
That's Halo 3.
That was 3, wasn't it?
That was 3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Valhalla. Valhalla has...
Ragnarok?
Relies a lot... yeah, Ragnarok.
Vertigo? No, sorry, not Vertigo. Vortex has the man cannons.
Vortex.
Skyline has the lift.
Adrift.
I don't think 343 is anti-man cannon.
No, I don't think so either. I think it really depends. It depends on the flow of the map. And one of the things that the man cannons introduce is to risk movement to getting somewhere quicker. You're basically exposed and you can get shot upon a lot easier. And people can hear it. So it's a little more of a risk-reward balance using a man cannon versus using a teleporter where you can like get out of dodge really quickly. And
oh, what's the one? It's a one-way man cannon, and oh man, it's an asymmetric map, I believe. Well, actually, it might be symmetrical, but it like
the
there's
cage?
A section that's outside and there's a section that's inside. When you're outside, there's like a platform and some construction looking equipment, and there's a one-way man cannon I believe it's one way.
This is Halo 4?
Yeah, yeah. And it like it, you can skip going down a hallway by just jumping outside of it.
Oh,
man, what is that?
It'll come to me in a second.
But that, yeah, I see what you're saying, Dust, because it is like risk versus reward. Like with teleporting, it in multiplayer, it feels really weird. But especially playing Warlock lately,
mm-hmm.
like man, watching those pros use those teleports and just like I never know where I am, and those guys always know where they are immediately as soon as they teleport. They just always know where they are. It's impressive. Well,
There's risk also to going through a teleporter because, like, absolutely. On a Blood Gulch, you're in the middle of the map. You don't know if someone's on the other side of the warp on Beaver Creek. And I don't know. It just kind of popped in my head right now of why have they taken away teleports?
Man, we're such dorks. We just talk like 10 minutes about man cannons.
I don't think it's them taking away teleporters. I think it's just kind of how the map flows and the implementation of how they want certain things to behave that they're really looking at. And if you take the teleporter from like Blood Gulch, you could still take the teleporter and sneak up on somebody. At least with the man cannon, you get an audible clue, so you instantly know where someone is. I think the man cannons have more inherent risk associated to them than teleports.
Maybe this is a perfect reason why maybe the Halo 4 maps aren't flowing like 1, 2, and 3. I mean, that could be like a small little thing that they need to bring back.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're talking from Halo 2 to now, it really has been a lot of the same core people that are now at Certain Affinity, correct? I mean, Certain Affinity designed all of the Halo 4 maps, right?
I think they did most.
I mean, different people. There's different people, obviously. Different. I like to call them like authors. Like it's really obvious, especially with all the transparency Max has had with IGN lately. Just listening right. to everything that he's kind of shared, all the insight that he had. But I think it's all generally from the same group of people, right? I think it's just you know what you're talking about, Rob, would probably be more of the sandbox there, like how they account for the things that they've implemented into the gameplay changes what they can and can't do, and I think. You know, kind of looping it back to what we've been talking about this whole time, the gameplay aspects of the Halo 5 beta are probably going to lend themselves to more flowing map design, level design, having Mantle and having all these little ways to just zip in and out and jump and run and do all that stuff. It's going to feel a lot more smooth, I think, and more flowing, like you said.
Yeah. And then again, also with the maps, with all the man cannons, they take away fall damage. So yeah. They could get away with that. You know, I kind of like the concept of fall damage, so I mean, it makes sense, except
not
for
as a
in the
not
well,
as a
I guess in the XOS.
I think it could make sense.
You're wearing armor that's just designed to take a punch, man. I mean, come on. Unless
well,
you're falling from like
fell through the atmosphere
on a building. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good
Noble
point.
Noble Six fell from the spaceship on the Reach.
Yeah, he was a Spartan 3.
Yeah.
I just like the concept of the skill of if I'm on Hang 'em High, I drop from third level to the ground. It's either I have skill and I crouch at the right time and my shields take a hit, or I just commit suicide. And I thought that brought up a whole new skill level, whereas you don't really have to worry about that at all on the newer games.
Hmm.
I think that's going to be a creative design decision for 343's side of things. And as far as like the lore goes, I would say the taking damage is probably more accurate for Master Chief falling, but that would just be me. I don't know what they're doing with the Halo 5 for fall damage. I don't think we played anything big enough that we could really anticipate fall damage. I mean, most of the stuff that we did was for those who figured it out, because I actually didn't figure it out until afterwards, but the ground pound.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you had fall damage, you'd probably get hurt from ground pound.
Right, so I'm not sure what direction they're taking on that, to be honest.
I would be willing to say that they're not going to really try to go too harsh on fall damage, because with these abilities and with this mobility – they're probably going to make the maps a lot more vertical than we're used to. Like back to feeling like Sword Base, where you just have like this a little more verticality to it.
Oh, did you just say Sword Base?
I did.
Oh.
Or Ivory Tower, if you want to look at it that way.
I like Ivory Tower. Or you could mention that game from Halo 3. What was in the beta? What was the snow map that everybody hated towards the end?
Oh, Snowbound.
Oh, dear God. I compare Sword Base to Snowbound with those stupid...
the walls?
Shields.
Yeah.
Wait, I like Sword Base.
I don't think Sword Base does have that.
Sword Base was a map that designed. Was only played on 10% of the entire map.
Depends. Yeah, it's that the room, the lift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if that had been a teleport, totally different.
Yep.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. Probably wouldn't have been.
So, I think we're going to kind of skip a little bit of the Halo 4 impressions because we've gone on for just about 2 hours, and I was going to get to some submissions tonight, which we actually have enough to read through.
Oh, cool.
But I'm actually going to save those for next time on the show. I think we may do kind of an impromptu one for next week, but it'll be pre-recorded if we do. This is the last planned live show that we have for the rest of the year, and then we'll be back after the new year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yay. I am happy that they moved the beta back to the 29th instead of starting on the 27th. That was really good for me, personally.
Yeah, and I also found that I'm not going on a trip, so I'm here for the whole thing.
Yay!
So I'm not going to miss out much of it.
Goodness. So that'll wrap it up for tonight. We'll get to the submissions and we'll get to the Halo 4 stuff a little bit more, or the Master Chief Collection stuff more in the next show. So, I guess until that time, we'll go around the table, let everyone kind of mention where they're at and what they do again, starting with Chris.
So, I do Halo Tricks.
And where can they find you?
they can find me on YouTube under CMNear with an EIR or CMNear.com.
Alrighty. Mr. Robowski, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Oh, just Google Post Game Carnage Report on Google. We're on Facebook. We have our own website, Twitter, YouTube. We're at a little bit of a low right now, but eventually we're going to be back. But there's 230 episodes you can go back and listen to, videos. Our latest podcast was about Interstellar.
Ooh.
So if everybody liked watching that movie,
I really enjoyed that movie.
I'm sure there were no arguments at all during that entire episode. I'm sure.
Well, I can guarantee I wasn't part of the actual podcast, but the funniest part was they brought up a special guest from that movie within the first 5 minutes. And if anybody's watching Interstellar, that's the ultimate part I was waiting for is to actually hear about this special appearance guest.
Oh, the cameo?
Yeah.
No, okay, yeah.
Oh,
I've
my god.
I've yet to see it, so I don't want too much spoilers.
Phenomenal. But just Google Postgame Carnage Report. We have fun. We're mature, rated 18 or above. So, yeah.
Got it.
But that's it.
Cool. And then Mr. Drew.
Yes. So, Podcast Evolved is part of the Rated M Gaming Network. Rated M Gaming is at r8dmgaming.com. And if you want to just find us, it's r8dmgaming.com/aboutevolved. We're on iTunes, YouTube, Twitch. We're on Twitter at Podcast Evolved. And we have a really, really active Facebook group. So if you have a Facebook account and you want to come chat with us and stuff, that's kind of like our version of forums because we don't have forums on the website yet because I just haven't done it yet. And we do a show every Friday night live, but I think that's about to change actually. So I think we're going to work on some new things for next year, but definitely check us out on iTunes. And if you go to ratedmgaming.com, you'll learn all about us and all of the other shows that are a part of the network. So I want to say thanks, Dust, for having us on. And, you know, Evolved has been really enjoying interacting with the Podtacular community and stuff. So we're really happy to be part of you guys.
Sweet, dude.
Working together.
Glad you could finally be on it. This is great opportunity. Yeah, I know, hopefully, right? This will be a good sign for things to come in 2015. There's going to be lots of stuff to talk about. There's obviously the
I hope so. Yeah.
The multiplayer beta is going to be coming here pretty soon. Public beta, as of this recording, is coming out tomorrow for 3 days, and then the actual beta for the Master Chief. I'm getting mixed up. I'm tired. For the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta, that's going to be coming out on December 29th. And I'll be running for 3 weeks then. And then, of course, we'll have all the info leading up to Halo 5. It'll be Pontacular's 10th year anniversary. Yeah.
Snap.
It's going to be a crazy year for Halo. That's for sure.
Oh, man. We're going to get so Halo drunk.
I'm excited.
I'm assuming that's the being drunk, right?
That's like if you drink a bunch of Blast Cola, whatever that Blast stuff is that you find in the Halo 2 anniversary map.
The Blast cans. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our live stream, for those listening to us live, or for downloading us on iTunes or however other means you download us and listen to us through your earbuds, headphones, whatever you do to listen. We appreciate you all very much. We are happy to have you on board with us as we wrap up this year. Again, this is our last planned podcast for the year. We may do another one, given that we're going to be playing Halo 5 Guardians all weekend. So we may do a general impressions one afterwards. We're not sure yet. But for the most part, this is going to be the last one that we have planned for this year. What was that?
I said I'd throw it down for that. I would totally throw it down for that.
Yeah.
Like an impressions thing.
Yeah. Cool. So hopefully we'll get to see some of you on this weekend. I know there's a lot of people that are looking to be on board with this through the preview program, and there's been quite a few giveaways for codes for getting access to the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta as well. So hopefully we will get to see you on, and if there are custom lobbies, we will definitely be hitting up a game night this weekend. So this podcast is going to be out tomorrow, hopefully, or actually today, since it's for me it's 12:20 in the morning.
Welcome to tomorrow.
Yay, thank you. So hopefully that functionality is there. If it's not, then we'll still try to get on board with you guys over matchmaking, and hopefully see you there. This is going to be first time experience for a lot of you guys, and we've had a lot of coverage in the past, so if you go back through the archives of Podtacular back a month or so ago during the launch of the Master Chief Collection, we had a big explosion of news that we posted. I think it was a total of 11 articles, 4 videos, stuff like that. So you can go back and check the archives on that. And of course, we have the Sprint series that's coming out that you can check up on all the behind the scenes information on that as well. So make sure you check out all that nice info coming out about Halo 5. And in the meantime, we're still waiting for more bug fixes to come out with the Master Chief Collection. Experiences have gotten better, it seems like, for a lot of people. There's still some quirks, there's still some things that need to be worked out, and there's going to be some things that need to be worked out for a good while. I have a feeling with everyone trying to focus on the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta that might slow down just a tad bit, but 343 is still committed to trying to get Master Chief Collection to 100% working order, and it's just a matter of patience and a matter of them getting stuff implemented as quickly as possible. So have hope.
It's looking good though. It really is. Like I've been playing a couple matches today. Mm-hmm. And I got in really, really quick. I've been able to join people left and right. There's some things with the campaign that I still like, we can't join up on each other, but
well, we haven't have we tried since the latest update?
I think we tried it that night, I think.
Okay.
For Halo 2 campaign, so we're gonna have to try it again.
Yeah. Everlasting the everlasting bio connection issue. Yeah, it's a curse. So we have a lot of that to look forward to for next year and in the coming weeks and months. So we hope that you guys are still here along for the ride come that time. There's going to be some special stuff planned for the next year with Podtacular. So we're excited about it. Hope you guys will be excited about it once you guys get to hear what's going on around here. And yeah, hope you stick around. Remember,
I'm stoked for Halo in 2015, man.
Yes, I think we all are.
This is gonna be the year.
Yeah. So make sure you check out our podcast network. That is thepodcast.com. It includes other gaming podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, and I didn't know this, but about a month ago, Reachcast left the network. I don't know if they stopped doing episodes or if they're just like not part of the network anymore.
I don't think they've done anything in a long time. I feel like they hadn't done anything in a long time.
They just stopped making episodes. I think they're done. So, which is a shame because I never got a chance to get them on the show. We had Guardian Radio on here. We had Critzcast on here. And that was the one other gaming-specific show that we never got on here. So, kind of sad day. But you can check out those podcasts over there. And there's also How to Murder Time and Work in Progress over there as well. So make sure you guys check those out if you're looking for some other gaming podcasts to get into. And, of course, there's the other podcasts that are in here that are Halo related, Post Game Carnage Report and Podcast Evolve, that you can check out as well.
Evolved.
Yeah. Evolved. Make sure you check out our...
Man, that sounded reluctant.
Make sure you check out our social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and all that stuff. And right now we're running a contest giving away 3 copies of the Master Chief Collection. And all you have to do... Well, there's quite a few things you have to do. But you only have to do one of these things in order to
it's
enter.
It's simple. Oh, no, it's
yeah.
not.
So we're doing kind of a sweepstakes-ish type of thing. And each thing that you do enters you in a certain amount of entries into the giveaway. So there is one for attending one of the game nights that we had this week. There's one for... we have a tweet out there where it's following RT, this tweet, to get a sweepstakes entry kind of thing. And then there's a post on Facebook, and I'll be posting a thing on Instagram tomorrow and YouTube as well. And you'll get be able to get entries that way as well. And every entry you get is just one more chance for you to win a copy of the Master Chief Collection. So we're giving away 3 of those. And all the details are up on our forums. Haas, if you're in the chat, can you please provide the link? And of course, we'll have the link on the podcast page as well. But all the info is in our forums under Podtacular Discussion. So if you're interested in trying to win the Master Chief Collection just in time for the holidays, the contest will end Sunday night. And that way we can make a choice on Monday and get those copies sent out to the winners. So make sure you check that out for a chance to win. Also, if you're interested in getting some last-minute shopping done via Amazon, the last day to do free shipping is tomorrow or today by the time you're probably listening to this, because hopefully I'll have this up by Friday. If not, you can do the 2-day shipping. If you have Amazon Prime, then it's like the $4 2-day shipping thing, and you can do that on like Saturday, Sunday as well, I believe. And if you're going over to Amazon, use our Amazon affiliate link and we get a small cut of that back to help out the website hosting and support some of the other costs that we have to keep Podtacular running, to keep the lights on. And you can do that by either going to podtacular.com/Amazon and building up your cart there, or you can build up your cart, then go through the link and then complete your checkout process. If you don't want to do the Amazon route and you just want to straight up donate, like we have one person that constantly does it all the freaking time, you know who you are. You're in the chat.
What a jerk.
Then you can go to our website and we have a donate.
What's going on?
Don't worry about it. We have a donate button that you can donate to us straight through PayPal, and that comes straight to us, and we can defer the funds where we need to help cover trips and website and equipment and whatnot. So anything and everything would be appreciated. But again, if you're not in any position to give any money or help out financially or fiscally,
just spread the word.
Yeah,
yo.
Just spread the word. Just share us on Twitter, share us with your friends. I've met quite a few people just through going to conventions and locally, and it's rather interesting to see how much you can spread by just telling one friend of this. So definitely help spread it out if you enjoy the show, and we would love to get on board with you guys through sharing. And you can come on the forums, you can come to our game nights, which is Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then if you're listening to us after the fact that we're doing this live, and you have some free time on Thursdays, we normally record live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. So drop by the chat, say hi, contribute to some of the talk that goes on over there. There's some pretty interesting discussions, and there's some pretty deep Halo discussions sometimes, so don't get intimidated too much. We're all friendly here. Well, most of us are. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. This has been episode 456, and as far as we can tell, the last episode of 2014. So we will see you guys in the new year. Big thanks again to CM Near, Robaski, and Drew Freeman for coming on the show. Thank you guys so much for all the effort that you do to support the Halo community as a whole. And for our listeners, we will see you next time. Keep on fragging the Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer beta.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah. Evolve.